Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Radico Khaitan Limited Q1 FY 2023 earnings conference call hosted by Dolat Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Himanshu Shah from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you, Michelle. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Dolat Capital, we would like to thank everyone for joining on this call. I would like to thank the management team of Radico Khaitan for giving us the opportunity to host Q1 FY 2023 post-result call. We have with us today Mr. Abhishek Khaitan, Managing Director, Mr. Dilip Banthiya, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Amar Sinha, Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Sanjeev Banga, President, International Business. I shall now hand over the call to Mr. Abhishek Khaitan for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on our Q1 FY 2023 results conference call. I hope you are all doing well and keeping safe. Strong growth momentum, which was seen in Q4 of last year, continued during Q1 FY 2023. Our endeavor during the quarter was to drive premium growth and focus on the execution of our projects to make Radico Khaitan a future-ready organization. In an environment which remains challenging, marked by unprecedented inflation, this performance gives us the confidence of our future growth trajectory. We have delivered another quarter of a strong IMFL volume growth led by prestige and above category, which increased by 29%. Overall, our growth is broad-based and has a healthy underlying product and price mix. As the consumption in the out-of-home space normalizes, we are seeing solid traction across the premium portfolio, particularly in the white spirit space. While Magic Moments Vodka volumes are growing strongly, the momentum that Jaisalmer Craft Gin is seeing is quite encouraging. Looking at the growing demand of Jaisalmer Indian Craft Gin, we are expanding our gin distillation capacity, which is already a part of our earlier announced CapEx plan. At Radico Khaitan, innovation is an ongoing phenomenon. In line with our brand strategy, we launched a travel retail exclusive expression of Rampur Indian single malt called Trigon, which will be retailed at $200 per bottle. It is an amalgamation of fruity aromas and smoothness topped with crispiness coming from a balanced maturation in three different casks. This is a testament to the quality of luxury brands that Radico Khaitan product produces. Radico Khaitan was the largest exporter of IMFL from India during Q1 of FY 2023. While there are near-term concerns around the inflation, the recent softening of certain commodities, a normal monsoon, and the policy measures undertaken by the government are positive for the industry. The recent price increases in the IMFL business translated into a 3% positive impact on our realization. With the price increases coupled with a favorable product mix, we are able to maintain our IMFL business margins. The impact of the cost push has been much severe in the non-IMFL business, where we are expecting a price increase shortly. Overall, we expect the inflationary environment to gradually ease out to some extent in the second half of the year. Both the Rampur Dual Field and Sitapur Greenfield projects are progressing well, and the civil construction is on full swing. We expect Rampur Dual Feed plant to be operational by Q3 of FY23. Our premium brand growth continues to be very robust. New brands such as Royal Ranthambore and Dazzle are performing in line with our expectations. Luxury portfolio consisting of Rampur Indian Single Malt and Jaisalmer Indian Craft Gin are showing great momentum. This coupled with the growth of our core brands such as Magic Moments, Morpheus, 8PM Premium Black and 1965, etc., places us very confidently to continue delivering industry-leading growth. I would now like to hand over the call to our CFO for a detailed operational and financial review. Thank you and over to you, Dilip.
Thank you, Abhishek. Thank you everyone for joining us on this call today. During the first quarter of FY23, we reported a total IMFL volume of 6.82 million cases, representing an increase of 21.5% on YOY basis. This was led by prestige and above category volume growth of 29.1%. In value terms, the prestige and above category registered 37% growth. Prestige and above category can account for 29.5% of IMFL volume compared to 26.1% in Q1 of FY22. Net revenue from operation during Q1 of FY23 was 757 crore, representing an increase of 27% compared to Q1 of FY22. During this period, IMFL sales value increased by 27.7%. As a percentage of total revenue, IMFL sales account for 9% of net revenue compared to 78.3% in Q1 of last year. Gross margins during the quarter was 43.6% compared to 42.7% in Q4 of FY22. And 47.1% in Q1 FY22. On YOY basis, continued commodity inflation resulted in gross margin compression, particularly in non-IFL business. Given a favorable product mix change, impact of cost push on the gross margin of IMFL business was mitigated to a large extent. On sequential basis, gross margin improved due to price increase in IFL business and a favorable product mix. In near term, we expect raw material pricing situation to remain volatile. While we have seen further inflation in packing material and ENA costs in Q1 of FY23, certain commodities have seen softening trend recently, so it is very difficult to comment on the trend going forward. Company is taking all effort to optimize costs and to mitigate any margin headwinds, which along with the recently received price increases shall help in offsetting the inflationary pressure. We are undertaking a company-wide, brand-wise value engineering exercise which will add value over the long term. In long term, we expect to continue our margin expansion trajectory given our portfolio premiumization and backward integration. Finance cost decreased by 36% from 4.6 crore to 3 crores during Q1 of FY23. The company's cost of borrowing is one of the lowest in the industry due to stable profitability, strong capital structure and improved liquidity position. We have further tightened our working capital, resulting in continued strong cash flow generation. During the quarter, company has incurred 95 crores on Rampur Dual Feed and Sitapur Greenfield projects, and a total of 165 crores have been spent since inception on these projects. We have a strong financial position, comfortable liquidity. During this time, we are taking all necessary steps to sustain our financial strength, maintain robust business model, and grow consistently, competitively, and profitably. With this, we now open the line for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aditya Bagul from Tata Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon and congratulations on a really good set of numbers. Sir, my first question is on realizations. So we've seen about 3% improvement in realizations in this quarter. Even over the longer term, we see 2 to 3% sort of a growth. So the question here is, I'm trying to understand if you can help me break down this realization into some of the price hikes that we've received. And second is the impact of the premiumization journey that we are on. So just some thoughts, this would be helpful.
So the realization in this quarter has also been in line with our momentum on this premium growth. So realization per case on YOY basis has improved by 6.1% on prestige and above category. And realization on regular category is improved by 800 basis points. So as far as the premiumization is concerned, this journey of premiumization is continuously going and strengthening. This is being shown we have improved because of the price increase in certain states. There has been an overall improvement of 300 plus basis points on our gross margin. The UP, Uttarakhand, MP.
So as we were, I'm sorry, sir, we lost you a bit. If you can just repeat the states in which you got a price hike.
Yeah, so there are certain states where we have got the prices. UP, Uttarakhand, Rajasthan, MP, Jharkhand, Assam, all these states are the major states where we have got price increases, a couple of smaller states also. The overall impact of these price increases is 300 basis point plus.
Understood, sir. Sir, and if I heard you correctly, there was a realization positive impact of 300 basis points in PNA, 600 basis points in PNA and a higher number in popular. But when we look at the overall realizations, though, that is up by only 3%. So is it fair to understand that bulk alcohol prices have actually come off on a YOY basis? How do I read into that?
So on an apple-to-apple basis, this is the price realization which you have given you in P&A 6% and on regular basis 800 basis points. However, depending on state mix, sometimes the point is sometimes some state is more in weightage than the other state on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So it can't be compared when you say as a macro level.
Understood, sir. That is very helpful. Going ahead, that we have these 3% sort of price hike in the pocket, what do you think should be the realization that we should look forward to? Realization growth that we should look forward to over the next 2 to 3 years, because that is when all our premiumization initiatives will sort of come through. So
this is Amar Sinha. See, it's like this, that if you see the history of performance, the growth in Radico is largely driven so far by PNA brands. And this PNA brand comprises of two clear segments. One is the luxury portfolio and one is the super premium portfolio. Now, as we see the market today, there is complete buoyancy for our brands. There is consumer demand for our brands. And that's what is pushing the growth. Now, these are brands like in the premium segment, brands like 8PM Premium Black, the newly launched Royal Ranthambore, the super premium vodka, which is Magic Moments Dazzle, they are still in the expansion mode in different states of the country. Rampur Single Malt and Jaisalmer are showing great traction. They are also in the expansion mode. So, yes, what I could only respond by saying is that the next 3 years are going to see phenomenal growth in these brands because they would be in full bloom. And over and above that, there is a lot of work happening on the premiumization part in terms of certain new innovative products that is also there to come.
Understood, sir. Very helpful. So my second question is around the inflation in our RM basket. So can you just talk a little in terms of, inflation in molasses, ENA, glass, etc., and some of the other inputs? And when do you see our gross margins going back to the high 40s level that we saw most of last year?
As we have said that the IMFL segment, because of the price increase in product mix, we have mitigated almost the inflation on the commodity side. On the non-IMFL segment, as we have explained, that the price increase which is in offering is going to mitigate that. At the same time, in the Q1, some of the commodities have softening and some of the commodities have seen the inflationary trend. The grain prices have increased over Q4. Likewise, the resin prices, the packing material side, we have seen the fuel price have increased, while in packing material, aluminium prices and the molasses prices have remained almost stable. So I think it's an overall mix of that.
Understood, sir. Would it be safe to assume that towards the second half of the year, we should go back to our erstwhile gross margin levels?
Yeah, so H2 onward, there are so many factors which will improve our gross margin as well as EBITDA margin. One, the backward integration of our Rampur dual feed plant will come into operation. So the backward integration profitability will be there. The luxury brand which is doing very well, like Jaisalmer and all that will, and Rampur is Indian single malt is still on allocation. So we have already spoken about it that next year onward, they are going to give a big fillip to our operating margin and gross margin. Price increases which we have received will also be having an impact for the full year. So, and the product mix with the launch of these products, as Amar has just explained that Royal Ranthambore, the Dazzle, which are being taken to now Pan-India rollout, I think this will bring the margin to the historical levels.
And above all this, a lot of work is happening in terms of value engineering to the packaging material of all premium brands. So this is going to result in a cumulative effect of margin expansion.
Understood, sir. This is very helpful. Those were my questions. Thank you and I wish you all the best for the quarters to come.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Cheda from Lucky Investment Managers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, after this 6% price hike in IMFL, by what percentage are you trailing in terms of the gross margin, the price increase required to gross margin? That's my first question. And in country liquor, what kind of price increases do you need for the company level gross margins to get restored?
So your first question, can you repeat it again?
The first question is, by how much percent of price increase is further required in IMFL or there's a trail element evident for the IMFL gross margins to come back to normal was my first question after the 6% price increase.
So while we actually budget it, we also don't look at that how much price increase will be able to make it. The product mix, like we have grown in this quarter also 29% on our prestige and above category. And the kind of brands which are being rolled out, we will be able to have the IMFL gross margins on our earlier historical level from H2 to Q4 onward. And next year, this will be on expansionary trajectory. in IMFL. And on country liquor, I can't say the exact price increase, but of course, that will mitigate most of our cost push.
Okay. In country liquor, we are not making any money at EBITDA, considering the price increases required, or we are making some money on the EBITDA?
At this point of time, no. After price increase, we will come back to you, but definitely we will make. Another feature is that country liquor segment is completely changing. Like for the first time, a grain-based alcohol has been introduced, which is 25% of the industry of almost 25-30 million cases. And another is expected. So the UPML is actually graduating the whole country liquor business to the cheap IMFL or economy IMFL as has been done in South. So I think that segment from H2 onward will also start generating good profit with the backward integration and the price increase.
See, there's one point which needs to be understood. One is that country liquor is an important segment, but it does not greatly support our margin expansion trajectory. What is going to support us is actually the buoyancy of premium brands, which is already doing too pretty well. And there are a couple of things that are happening. We are working on the improvement of the product mix, selling more of premium brands. Premiumization is on the cards, which is still happening. It's not over yet. We are working on price increases in quite a few states. The government has responded well in the last 2 years. And we hope that the outlook is positive in the times to come. We are working on cost optimization and value engineering, which will give us good results. And of course, backward integration with Rampur dual plant coming in and thereafter Sitapur plant. So if you really look at the sequence of things, our margin expansion trajectory is being supported by so many other factors, which are going to result in a positive incline upwards.
So one clarification, the UPML, will it replace country liquor or it will be a completely new category in itself?
See, UPML is a good policy that has evolved in UP. It is actually moving the country liquor segment upwards towards an IMFL. It is sub-IMFL. So, it is moving towards the IMFL category. So, with UPML becoming stronger, actually the IMFL space stands to gain. And the biggest advantage comes to us in the form of using our captive spirit for the plant that we are setting up in UP, which is Sitapur. So, we are secured actually with this space in the UPML segment.
So, sir, the country liquor will shrink, right?
Yeah, it will graduate to economy IMFL, which will have a higher margin compared to country liquor.
Perfect. Lastly, sir, I missed on the volume growth numbers for IMFL as a whole for quarter one.
So the overall volume growth in this quarter has been 21.5%. And as we have already guided also that we will continue to have a double-digit growth on our volumes for next 3-4 years.
And premium grew 26%, right?
Premium grew by 29%.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal from Bowhead Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for this opportunity. I have two questions. Firstly, you know, your Rampur stock inventory, you know, for making more of Rampur, when it will be available, Q3 or Q4, it's available as of now in how many states and what is the plan for end of this year and end of next year in terms of distribution?
See, Rampur right now is purely on allocation basis. So, as far as the Indian market goes, we are present in only 6 states, but there also we cannot supply because the demand is much more. Even the export demand, we are not able to service of Rampur. But now with the new maturation facility which we are coming in Sitapur in couple of years, that will give. And the thing what we invested about 5-6 years back, that production will start coming from FY24. That is next year the production will come. And from this year's current production, it will be significantly higher. It should be at least about 3 times.
Sir, are you saying from this year it will be 3 times or?
No, from next year. From Rampur next year. From Rampur it will be next year.
It will be 3 times. And would it increase further beyond that going forward?
Yes. It will keep increasing because as the spirit gets matured, it will keep increasing. So as of now, the demand is so much that, you know, that also looks less as of now.
And sir, are we able to fully manufacture whatever is demand for Jaisalmer, or there is restriction there as well because of lack of availability?
Jaisalmer also, we have received an exceptional demand and the product is doing very well and it is the most expensive gin. It is priced at about 3,800 rupees a bottle. And there also we have tripled our production and hopefully by January the plant should be operational, which was already taken in the capex, but it happened sooner than what we expected.
And sir, as far as ATM Black is concerned and Royal Dutton Board is concerned, currently sold in how many states and where do you plan to take it by end of this year? And maybe, you know, if you can even talk, if it's possible, by end of, you know, FY24, where would you see your distribution for this bill?
So 8 PM Premium Black is in 19 states and Royal Ranthambore, we have just started expanding our width of distribution. We are in 6 states and the brand has shown, see, as far as Black is concerned, it has shown in just the span of 2 years, it has multiplied many fold and we have, last year we did 2 million cases. This year we are expecting a good growth. As far as Royal Ranthambore is concerned, the product priced at a higher point compared to foreign brands is performing exceptionally well, very good response. We see as this as a major profit contributor in the future, and this year we plan to expand the width of distribution.
But sir, currently it's in how many states, Royal Ranthambore?
Royal Ranthambore is just in about 6 states right now.
Great. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Namish Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Please proceed with your question, Mr.
Hello.
Gupta.
Is my voice audible to you?
Yes, please proceed.
Okay. Sir, congratulations for the great set of numbers, sir. My question is on, sir, volume and realization. I mean,
Mr. Gupta?
Yes?
Are you saying something? We were not able to hear you. As there was no response from Mr. Gupta's line, we'll take the next question, which is from the line of Pankaj Kumar from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question and congrats on very good volume growth. Sir, my question pertains to this royalty brands which you have given. I mean, I just want to know, like earlier it was included which category earlier and what it is all about.
See, royalty brands is not a part of our strategy, a business strategy. Actually, we give brands on royalty when we see that the margins are compressed and it is still calling for a huge inventory capital block, working capital block. So these are some brands that we have put in some states where brands have been given on royalty, and it's not a significant part of our strategy.
And these are normally the regular brands.
These are more or less regular packs.
Okay, okay. And sir, on this 8 million premium pack, we have seen very strong volume growth. So, I mean, it's of course in the prestige and above category. So have you seen any compression in the volumes on the 8 PM brand? Because, I mean, it's a, we can say, 8 PM of course in the premium category, but the brand name 8 PM comes in. So that is driving the volume growth in 8 PM premium black?
See, what we have done is like the 8 PM premium black, we are seeing a very, very strong traction. As I said, last year we did 2 million cases. And this year also the brand is absolutely galloping. And as far as 8 PM is concerned, 8 PM is in the regular range. And 8 PM we are concentrating only in those states where our recoveries are high. So we are not entering into those states, which we have done it last 5 years, where the contribution is not high. And whichever states we are in 8 PM, that is showing great momentum. So I think both the brands coupled together is showing a good traction. And 8 PM as a family is about 10 million cases.
Okay. And sir, in terms of new brands, are we planning for any new brands in say next 1 year or something?
So I'll tell you what, if you recall the last few interactions, we had said that Radico was working in the premiumization space with two whiskies. One has already been launched, which is Royal Ranthambore, which is showing exceptionally good response in the market. There is another one on the cards, but we are waiting for the market and economy to become normalized. So over the next 1 year, we are very hopeful that we should be able to do something on this side.
Okay, thanks for taking
it. Thank you. There is a follow-up question which is from the line of Sonal from Bowhead Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you again, sir, for this opportunity. My question was, pertaining to, you know, 8 PM black first question, like what kind of growth would you expect? Is it still very high or is it in teens?
See, 8 PM black is growing at a very high double digit growth rate. And we hope the brand to maintain the similar momentum in the times ahead. See, it grew very quickly from 1 million to 2 million and the brand is extremely buoyant. The growth is attributed to its quality of the blend, the packaging and the brand positioning backed by Tiger Shroff, who is the brand ambassador. So, all put together, this brand is very buoyant. It has a great feel.
And sir, when you say high, you know, it could mean anything, it could mean 50, it could mean 20, you know, it could mean, you know, all these are high numbers. So, let me ask you a question in different ways. When do you expect it to become a 3 million plus brand?
Very soon, very soon.
Great. So my second question was, you know, your royalty has increased, but, you know, you may have implemented part of it mid of the quarter. So what is the steady state kind of number one could expect going forward in this basket, you know, and maybe
yes,
if it's possible for you.
Can you please repeat your question?
Sure. So your royalty has increased Q on Q and Y on Y. And sometimes while you're saying you implemented certain brands in this basket, but, you know, it's work in progress always for any business. So it's possible that, you know, you may not have implemented all the changes at one go, or it's also possible that you have, may have implemented some of the changes mid-quarter. Therefore, what I was trying to understand from you is on a steady state basis, if I look at next 2-3 quarters, you know, what kind of number one could expect from this royalty line item in the P&L in terms of volumes or in terms of sales, whatever is possible for you to explain, you know?
See, right now in the royalty, we have given it to certain management, and you know that is not our focus area. And right now the situation is so volatile, and the reason why we have given it on royalty is because, first of all, we don't want pressure on our working capital, and the margins in this is not that great. So our concentration is more on the prestige and above side.
Oh, I see. So we cannot say anything about where this number will be, and you may even change the strategy going forward on this one. depending upon the margins and the business outlook. Is that what you're seeing?
See, depending on margins, we would be flexible. As long as it benefits our bottom line, we can relook at it.
Understood. And if I was to do a like-to-like comparison, would it be fair to say on YoY you would have grown by additional 30 crores kind of revenues had you not, you know, changed this? Or what would have been the delta in the revenues? Because, you know, when we look at overall revenue numbers, obviously this comes into your royalty line item, while in terms of at the, you know, overall revenue level, if you would have done it internally, the number would have been obviously much bigger, a multiplier of this number you reported. So if you could give us some context of that, that would help us understand what was, you know, like-to-like revenue growth for Radico, you know.
So the revenue, as you know, in the royalty model, the revenue is not being accounted for, and it is the royalty only. So it depends on the realization per case for that. So basically, we have gone on royalty model, so we have worked out on the royalty numbers rather than on the top line numbers.
But would you have some rough estimate, like would your revenue would have increased by 20 crores, 30 crores, 50 crores, you know, what would have
I can't comment without, I can't guess like that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Dam from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. My question is, once both our CapExes are, you know, fully commissioned and, say, FY 2025 would be a full year of operation. So once that happens, you know, either in FY 2025 or 2026, what is the kind of, you know, by that time, what are we expecting on the P&A volume, the regular volume, and finally the ENA sales? So far as, you know, from a volume point of view, value, you would obviously not know how it would pan out. I presume that with so much of thrust on P&A, that would obviously be a bigger contributor to both top line and profits. But broadly on the, you know, from where we stood in FY 2022, for example, we did 18 million cases of regular and about slightly short of 8 million cases on in P&A. So you've got sense of, you know, that. Thank you.
See, if I look at the 25-26 year, one is P&A, one is even the luxury segment. The kind of growth we are experiencing in the luxury segment is very encouraging for us, and especially in 25-26, Rampur we should have in a decent quantity. Still, I think the demand would be much more. And Jaisalmer, the way it is growing, whether it is exports, whether it is domestic, everywhere, I think that is going to contribute largely to our volume mix. But to answer, I think in terms of value, we should be at least 60% plus by the premium portfolio itself.
So if you, I will further add to it. As you have seen that for last six consecutive years, we have outbeaten the industry growth. And we will maintain that trajectory that we actually in P&A category, we will be better off than the industry growth. And with the launch of various brands, which we have already explained to you, the growth in regular and P&A category both will be in double digits. So regular category, I won't say that double digit, high single digit, but P&A category, it could be strong double digit growth. Based on that, it's arithmetic only.
See, the most positive aspect of all our investments is, one, that UP, last year we've grown by 22%. The market is buoyant. The excise policy is very progressive. So in the next 3 years, this market is going to boom, first. Secondly, we have a 30% market share of this state. So any growth that comes will come in this space. So all our investments are going to yield results. And we have in principle taken a decision that all our super premium brands will be sourced out of UP. And our investments are in Rampur and going to be in Sitapur. So we are very safe as far as investments are concerned. As far as our markets are concerned, it is buoyant. And therefore, we see proper capacity utilization of our investments.
Yes. So in your premium and super premium, like Prestige and above and, you know, above that, in 3-4 years, you should actually kind of close to, I mean, I don't think you'll be happy if you don't, you know, move closer to doubling of from where you are. Regular, of course, is a different story. On the raw material part, you know, ceteris paribus, as things stand now, you know, once you have a normal year of full production of the greenfield, you know, what would be the kind of, you know, cost saving or margin expansion, everything remaining constant, if you know, if your product mix, if the other things were to remain constant as it is, between how you source your raw material and your backward integration, if you could give us some sense, in whichever way you want to put it, some sense of, you know, what do we expect. Thank you.
So, Sanjay, as far as the commodity prices are concerned, nobody can predict it. First of all, it is a very volatile. So, as you said, that given this current environment when the inflationary pressures recede and there is the tailwind towards that side, definitely it's going to have a positive impact on our margin. But I can say that the investment which Amar has explained will be utilized as our P&A category, where we are using almost our alcohol, grain-based alcohol. So we'll be utilizing the capacity for our branded business for the grain-based alcohol, which we are doing in Rampur and Sitapur. And 3 years' time, with the kind of growth we are envisaging, this will be captively utilized for our brand's portfolio. So that much I can say.
Perfect. So basically, the project should pay for itself in about 4 years' time.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Gentlemen, thank you so much for answering my questions patiently, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Himanshu Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. Sir, you highlighted that there has been a price inflationary pressure in ENA and grain prices sequentially. Can you just call out what would this inflationary pressure would be in quantitative terms for ENA and grain prices?
In ENA, on a Q-on-Q basis, this is approximately 4%.
Okay. And why?
YOY basis, it is 12%.
Okay. And grain?
On grain prices, this Q-on-Q basis is around 7-8%. And on YOY basis, it is around 35%.
Okay. And there has been increase in fuel costs, etc. also. So does that impact our power cost also?
So basically, we have our boiler and steam-generated, co-generated power plants. However, because of the fuel cost increasing, the cost of conversion is also increasing. So that is in line with what, and the fuel prices in this has also gone up by 25% in the Q1 bill.
Okay. And sir, can you just provide one more color on bottle prices, both on a Q-on-Q and Y-on-Y basis?
So the glass bottle prices have been increased from end April, and it is across industry, some 5,000 rupees per ton has got increased. And I think this is being taken care of. And what we are doing is that we are taking simultaneously the mitigating exercises like light weighing of the glass bottles, recycled bottle in the regular category. So partly it will be mitigated, but definitely rest will have an impact on the cost.
Okay, okay. So full impact of this, we should see some more in Q2 FY23, sir?
Yeah, partly so it has been in this quarter, and part in the coming quarter it will be full impact, but there are pluses, as we said, in H2.
Sure. And so just one more question related to cost. Once a Sitapur plant becomes operational, fully operational, what would be the fixed operating cost for factory on a either on a monthly or on an annualized basis? If you can just provide some color.
I couldn't understand, Himanshu, your question.
Once the Sitapur plant will become operational, what would be the additional fixed cost for that particular plant, both for manpower as well as administration, etc., on an additional cost that would come below the gross profit level for Sitapur plant?
So this is actually quantification of this at this point of time. We have gone on what it would result into giving the based on production per liter of this thing, and rest fixed cost will be taken care of because the whole contribution math have been done based on that it will generate, and we have not we have to also see that will add to our, we are putting a large bottling capacity in Sitapur of the IMFL as well as of the UPML, etc., and Kanchilikar. So I think it will be bottom line side, it will be very positive. So fixed cost is not that significant that it will be, have a significant impact on that. This is manpower cost and the other cost. This is in line with what we are having in Rampur.
Okay, sure, sir. No, just two more questions. We had a very, very healthy volume growth in P&A segment on a YOY basis. But I'm presuming last year was slightly impacted by second wave of COVID. And if I compare with Q1 FY20, we had done approx 2 million cases of P&A. So volumes are marginally down versus Q1 FY20. So anything specific over here, like probably some disruption in Delhi market, or what could be the reasons for declining P&A?
Yeah. See, the previous years actually is not comparable, because since then there have been a lot of RTM changes, route to market changes, and market trends have changed. But as far as P&A growth is concerned, I think we are growing very healthy in the current context, and that growth rate will continue to be maintained. But there's no point comparing it with the past where the market composition was different. The route to markets have changed since then.
Sir, no issues. In past quarters, we have guided that P&A should continue to register healthy double-digit growth, and overall volume growth should be in the vicinity of 13-15%. Is my understanding correct on that guidance at a broader level?
Yes, on the broader level, this understanding is absolutely bang on.
Sure. And just the last question. What would be the share of our new products like Magic Boom and Diesel, Jaisalmer King, Royal Ranthambore, 8 PM Black in our overall revenue mix? The products that we have launched in last couple of years, last 3 to 4 years, what would be their share of in our revenue mix as on date?
So as far as the Diesel or Jaisalmer and all that is concerned, we will, I think, be talking about this in 2023-24. Because these brands are emerging, right, and being rolled out. But as far as the 8 PM Premium Black is concerned, with the 26 million cases which we did last year, 2.2 million cases, roughly around 8%. So the 8% of the overall saliency is 8 PM Premium Black.
It's about 10% actually.
Now it's 10%. Yeah.
Sure, sir. Thanks. This was very, very helpful. Thank you. Over to you, Michelle.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Swapnil Rajni, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi Abhishek, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So congrats on the numbers. So I want to ask a question. So when I was just checking the receivables, for the last 5 years towards the sales, I can see that our receivables is around 25 to 30% YOY. Now, as for the last 2021 annual report, it was mentioned in the audit side that this is basically a risk that we see. So I wanted to understand that what is the segment-wise breakup of this receivables? Is this IMFL, non-IMFL? And also, basically, the realization of this receivable depends on the selling price of the state government. So if you can throw some light.
So first of all, I must tell you that we have worked continuously for last 5-6 years on our working capital. The working capital number of days have come down from 61 days to 30 days, which is because of our credit control system. And at the same time, on the state government or in the open market, our credit systems, credit limits are very, very stringent. You must have also seen that in our trade, in our businesses, many companies have shown the write-offs and all that. But in Redico, because of our business model, we have not gone on loose credit policies. So I will say we are very conscious company on credit, and we continue to monitor our working capital and the credit risk in the market consciously and continuously. Further, we have a risk-free risk. We are insured against any kind of receivable risk because we don't sell enough in states where we find there is a potential risk to receivables.
Okay. Thank you very much. I have another question. So in terms of our geographical expansion, I think so we have launched the gin, right, in the US market, if I'm not mistaken. So what is our general strategy before we launch in any new geography, especially in the international market? Like, do we run some surveys? How do we arrive at the decision that this is our product that we need to launch in this geography? And also from our US markets, what is the revenue target?
Well, in terms of launching any brand in any new market, obviously we see what's happening in the market. In fact, when we are selling launching our Indian single malt Rampur, that's when we discovered that whether it is US or Europe, there is a huge demand growing and interest growing in gin, and that's when we decided to do our Jaisalmer gin. One needs to be fairly abreast with what's happening in the international markets, both in terms of consumer preferences and the trends. Basis that we are exploring a couple of other new product developments, which we see potential in the coming years in the all developed markets. In terms of revenue from US, I'm afraid we don't share region-specific revenue breakups. But let me assure you, both our Rampur and Jaisalmer are doing exceedingly well in the US market.
All right. Thanks. So I have a follow-up question on this geographical expansion that we're doing. So I understand in India we have a regulatory challenge that we cannot, advertise our spirits outright. What about in international markets? Are we doing a advertisement spend there, and are there any regulatory challenges do we face there, or we can do our advertisements as we would like here to do?
No, as a principle, and especially post the pandemic, our focus is far more on digital media than on, say, billboards or TV commercials or anything. So we don't do the traditional marketing or advertising in any of the international markets. Our focus is far more on social and digital media.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand over the conference to the management for closing comments.
Thanks everybody for joining us today. as we continue to deliver upon our premiumization strategy, which is reflected in the strong P&A volume growth during the quarter, and all our core premium brands are registering strong growth. The traction of luxury brand Rampur Indian Single Malt, which is strictly on allocation at this point of time, and Jaisalmer Indian Craft Gin is above expectation. Next year onwards, Rampur allocation will increase as we are expanding, and also we are expanding the gin distillation capacity to cater the growing demand. There has been near-term margin pressure due to the commodity inflation, but we are confident of maintaining our long-term margin expansion given the premiumization of our portfolio and backward integration. We look forward to interacting with you on our next earning call. In the meanwhile, if you have any query or follow-up questions, please feel free to write to us. Stay safe and healthy. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Dolat Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.